Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
Or your Jennifer, his lovely wife. And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 3rd, 2011, episode 241, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world. And then Jennifer, there you go. Good job.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride.
But it's still Monday.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride. Ooh, yeah.
And all right, well, out, which is exactly what it is. Glenn out.
Now, I think that, is Glenn, are you there? Are you there, Glenn? Are you there?
No, he's here, but he's not here.
Okay, I'll put that person back on mute, whoever that was.
Sorry.
Sorry if I just took you off hold. So, yeah, Glenn's having some computer problems. Is that correct, Jennifer? What is happening in the Horse Radio Network headquarters right now?
Horse Radio Network headquarters at this very moment, the room just down the hall from me, I hear some crashing sounds. Glory, the greyhound, just took off across the room. Some muttering. It does not sound good at all. Not at all.
All right. So apparently Glenn is having some computer problems. So we find it best to not put him on the phone because we can't have the language that he's probably uttering right now on our
beep,
show.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, which is beep, beep. Kind of like the Craig Ferguson show and the little would be like that.
Yeah. So you guys did you guys have a great weekend? I saw pictures of you on Facebook of you guys actually in the parade. Now, what parade was that, Jennifer?
In Georgetown, Kentucky, which is a little teensy-weensy town right next door to Lexington. Every year they have the Festival of the Horse. And it's their fall festival. They just call it the Festival of the Horse because, hello, we're in thoroughbred country around here. And they have a parade. And it's a regular parade. It has little floats and bands and very loud music, just like a regular parade does. But lots and lots of horses. And all the locals, and I mean all the locals from miles around, come in and ride in the parade. Some of them ride to compete and get prizes for costumes and outfits, and others just ride for hoots and giggles. And Glenn and I went along with his co-host from the driving show, Wendy Ying, in her carriage. She drove three of her horses, Alfie, Sox, and, ooh, I'm going to get in trouble because I can't remember the third horse's name. But she had a unicorn hitch where there's two right next to the carriage and then one out in the front by himself. I'm not too sure how she steers that one out there in the front. It looked a little dicey to me. And we rode along in the parade, and it was wonderful fun to see all the local folks who just, you know, they're people with backyard horses there.
Jennifer, isn't the point of a parade to go and watch, you know, to have a lot of people on the sidelines watching and cheering you on? But it sounds to me, from what you're describing, that everybody from miles around comes and is actually in the parade. So was there anybody actually watching the parade?
There are some people watching. When you get right into the center of town, because this thing runs right through the middle of town, it's kind of a picture postcard little old town. There are a few thousand people there, but it is a tiny town. So I'd be willing to bet we've got two spectators for every one rider.
That's close. Glenn, are you there?
Hey,
Glenn,
can you hear me now?
There you are.
Hey, Glenn.
I don't know what was wrong there.
Here today.
I had a computer crash, and I don't know what was up. But I'm back. I'm here. Good morning, everybody.
Well, good morning. Do you remember the third, the name of the third horse that you were pulled behind in the carriage? Because Jen couldn't remember.
Oh, geez, if Jen doesn't remember, I'm not going to remember. Dante.
No, Dante.
I remember
wasn't
Dante.
Long. Remember Dante had a sore foot, so Dante couldn't come. It was Alfie and Socks.
Alfie and Socks, and I don't remember. But you're going to hear more about, I've heard Jennifer's description there, you're going to hear more about the interesting time that it developed into for us at the parade on the driving radio show this week when it comes out tomorrow. We'll have to let Wendy tell the story because let's just say that, you know how when you're dealing with horses, Jamie, sometimes things don't always go as planned. No matter how much, no matter how much you know your horse or horses, and no matter, you know, no matter what you think, sometimes they have a different opinion on what is a good thing and a bad thing in any particular moment. Well, let's just say that we had that experience during the parade. So we'll let Wendy tell about that on the driving radio show this week.
Okay, but for our listeners, you have to tell me. So there's point A to point B. There's start to finish. I know you got out the starting gate. Did you make it across the finish flags?
No.
Yes, we did. Technically, we did. We just took a shortcut.
Okay, so, yeah, technically we might have, but we took the shortcut. Let's just say we cheated to win the race.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Well, hopefully everything worked out okay, and we'll all have to tune into the driving radio show this week to hear how it turned out. Let's go ahead and do Jennifer, why don't you tell everybody what's coming up on today's show while Glenn works on everything?
On today's show, Glenn will be repairing commuters while we're on the air. And then after that, we actually have on the show today Dr. Gordon Chang, our good buddy from Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals. No, it's not a pharmaceutical. It's Omega Alpha Equine. And he's going to chit-chat with us a little bit about horse digestion and probiotics versus prebiotics, so we'll be able to gross Glenn out early in the show, and we will be able to ruin his breakfast as well as his lunch. And then we're going to have a little chit-chat about what's going on this past weekend. We have lots of headlines to cover. And then later on, Anna Twinney. Is it Twinney or Twiney, Glenn?
You know, I've asked her that about 50 times, and I still don't remember. Every time, I don't remember which one it is.
Oh, okay. Well,
she has a lovely English accent, so you can't really tell. So I think we're safe either
way. Anna Twiney. It's Twiney. I would imagine.
Is it Twiney?
Anna's going to be here and to talk about the upcoming third annual Holistic Horse Affair. It's going to be a good time there, so she's going to chit-chat a little bit about that. And that's what's on today's show.
All right. Well, thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, Jamie. It's good to talk to you. I'm glad I finally got on the air. You and Jennifer have been doing it all by yourself this morning. And there's so much to talk about. It's like Monday. We had a weekend and everything. But a couple things before we get chatting about the weekend. One is we had people request. Remember we played the poem Helena read last week, I Hung Up My Bridle Today? Well, I posted that on our Facebook page. So if you want to hear just that or share it with your friends, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Also, we have an update from Aaron Bolster, our Grizzly Wrangler. Remember the Grizzly Wrangler from last week? She said, and this is a quote, "I just wanted to let you know Letterman has moved to the 11th. She was supposed to be on David Letterman's show tomorrow night. Well, it has been moved to the 11th of October. They decided they really wanted Tonk, her horse, the one that helped her go after the bear. They had Tonk, they really want Tonk out there, and they want to make it a bigger feature. So in order to allow Tonk a more relaxed five-day trip to New York City in his own climate-controlled van, no less, and to schedule me on a date when they could allow me two segments, the producer set us to film and air on October 11th. I'm quite excited, and I think Tonk will be a real treat on camera." So she's going to get a big, big amount of time on the Letterman show on the 11th.
Well, and no one deserves it more than her. That's just such a cool story. For those who don't know, what we're talking about is there was a girl who's a wrangler in Montana, and she was taken out a trail ride. A deer came by and was being chased by a bear, and all the horses spooked one horse went off into the woods, had a little kid on its back. Well, her horse didn't spook. She and her horse chased after the kid that was on the horse being chased by the bear. So it's kid on horseback, bear, and then Aaron and Tonk. And so she actually scares the bear away, saves the day, saves the kid, and so she's going to be on David Letterman. That's very, very cool. I can't wait to see Tonk on stage at David Letterman.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Everybody's going to have to tape it. If you don't stay up that late, put it on your DVR, and we'll remind you as we get closer as well. All right, Daily Mini Crunch. My Daily Winnie goes out to Wendy Yates Taylor, who wrote on our Facebook page, I just listened to Friday's show and was very excited to hear my very bad ad. I would love to have won the book because I can't wait to read it, but I'll have to admit that the winning ad was very witty and well written. I can relate. I have two daughters. And we had a couple of requests on Facebook for a copy of the really bad ad from Friday that won, which was terrific, and Jamie did a great job of reading it. Well, I put the text on our Facebook page, so if you want to share that with everybody, you'll find that there as well from the really bad ad winner on Friday. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to Friday's show. Go to Horses in the Morning, listen to Friday's show, because I think half the fun was hearing Jamie read it. So that was but Wendy, thank you for sending in your really bad ads, and everybody can continue to send theirs in this week for another edition on Friday. And here you go.
Well, I've got two Daily Winnies today, and this is going to be news, the second one anyway, for you guys. But my first Daily Winnie goes out to my dear, sweet rescue thoroughbred Jet. And if you've known my relationship with Jet at all, I don't call him my dear, sweet Jet very often.
Ever.
Because he's usually trying to catapult me into the air from the ground, and usually will buck me off as high as he can possibly project me into outer space. Well, we have been eventing, and we've done a couple horse trials, and a good day is the day he only tries to buck me off like three or four times. And he's very much excitable, and he gets very crazy, and he loses his mind, but he loves to jump. So the jumping portion of our experience is always fantastic. It's the warm-up and the moving around that's not jumping that is exhausting. So yesterday, Glenn, we took my coach and I and a bunch of us that ride with her, went down to Grass Ridge Horse Trials, where the horse trials is going to be in 2 weeks, that I'm entered, and I moved up to novice on my crazy thoroughbred. We moved up, so I was going down there to school. It's about 3.5 hours one way for me. So it was a long drive. I got up really early in the morning, loaded the horse up, and I took him down there. Now, how would you expect that my horse did?
Well, it's cross country. He always does pretty well in cross country. If you were asking me how did he do practicing dressage, I would say he tore down the arena and you were charged $500 of repairs. But being that it's cross country, I think you probably did okay.
Yeah, you know what? When we got off the trailer, it's wide open fields. Wide open fields. And again, I haven't really ridden this horse in the open too terribly much. In the last couple cross countries we've done have been in the woods. So wide open field. We had six horses all going out in the first group, and every single horse was jigging and chomping at the bit and spinning and trying to run away, except for one. My horse! My horse was actually the well-behaved one when we were going out to cross country. I even said to my coach, was like, Barbara's like, Jamie, look how good he's been. I'm like, don't say anything. Hush. Don't ruin it. And I even said, Barb, there's a reason he's the only calm one, because he does not know that there's a cross-country course on the other side of this hill. And she's like, no, it's because he's getting broke and he's behaving and all this. Anyway, he was so good. He was awesome. And we even jumped training level fences. We jumped water ditches. Beginner, novice, training level fences. It was just an awesome experience. My horse was like the superstar of the day. My body right now, however, feels like I was in a car accident because everything hurts. Because 3 hours of cross country will wear your butt out. My butt is chafed. I need to get that anti-monkey butt powder because, oh, my ass hurts. But it was very, very fun and an exciting day.
Well, good. That's terrific. You know, if they did venting with just cross country, you'd be doing 4-star by now.
Man, he'd be just amazing at that. That whole dressage thing, really, really, it's so opposite from my old horse, because my warm blood is awesome at the dressage, and he could take your lead jumping, but it's so opposite with Jet. Jet's like, let me just jump out of the arena and end this right now. All right,
All
one
right.
more.
Cool. You have one more? All right.
The second Daily Winnie goes out to my father, my dear sweet dad. My
uh-oh.
Daddy is like the greatest guy of all time. Don't say uh-oh. Why you gotta say uh-oh like you think this is gonna be bad? My dear father is like
uh-oh.
The greatest guy of all time. My birthday, Glenn, is on October 19th. Okay, it's only October 3rd. I got a phone call this weekend from my daddy. Telling me that he said, what's the name of the hotel? The Wynn. He said, I'm just calling to let you know that the Wynn Hotel, what you need to do is you need to go into the Wynn Hotel and you need to go up to the concierge desk and give them your name, and they will then hand you the two tickets to Garth Brooks Saturday
what?
Night.
What? How'd you get those? Those are like $1 million each right now.
I don't know if they're $1 million, but they were my birthday present from my daddy. And my daddy is the greatest thing in the whole world. And I'm going to
die. You better give your daddy two. Here, we'll give him this too, because we'll give him a second Daily Winnie. Because he deserves that. I mean, that's a big deal. Those are hard to come by.
I know. Well, he was in Vegas last weekend, and he was at his State Farm Insurance Convention, and he was staying at the Wynn. And so I think he went up and just, you know, kind of like, as a guest of the Wynn, I think they have some tickets off to the side, you know. I don't think it's like... It is at the Wynn. It is a small, intimate performance. At 10:30 on Saturday night, I'm going to need some coffee. 10:30 Saturday night, I will be sitting in a tiny room with 200 to 300 of my closest friends, sitting there watching Garth freaking Brooks play guitar. Ah! How awesome is that? This is like bucket list for me, okay? I've always wanted to see Garth Brooks. I love Garth Brooks. I've been listening to his music nonstop since this whole thing happened, and I'm going to Vegas.
Is that this weekend now?
Yes, that is this weekend. I will be hopping in the car with my husband. We decided to make a weekend of it, and we are going up Friday night and come back Sunday.
Yay for you. That's terrific. And, wow, Dad came through for you here. You're going to owe him big time.
I am so Daddy's little girl. It's not even funny. And if my twin brother found out about this, he would be so mad.
Because he doesn't listen to the show. That's a good thing.
Of course not.
Well, why don't we take our first guest here is ready to go. Dr. King's ready to go to talk about biotics, and then we'll get to some of the news, and we have another guest again later in the show. So you take it away, Jamie.
All right. Well, on the phone, we have Dr. Gordon Chang of Omega Alpha, and you guys know that I absolutely love Omega Alpha products. I've used them on my little cross-country horse, Jet, and pretty much every one of my horses has seen an Omega Alpha product by this time. But Dr. Gordon Chang is going to come on today and talk to us about pro versus prebiotics. And, you know, reading that, and that's what you're going to talk about, I didn't realize that there was even a difference. And, you know, you buy probiotics for your horse, and you see the prebiotics, and I've never known what the heck, you know, either of them meant. So Dr. Gordon Chang is going to take the mystery out of probiotics, prebiotics, all that. So first of all, good morning, Dr. Chang.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you. I'm Glenn. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Good morning,
Absolutely.
Doctor.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming on, and you're going to talk to us I guess, you know, first of all, what are probiotics and what are prebiotics?
Okay, the term prebiotics, the only reason I wanted to bring this little thing up about pro versus pre, you see prebiotics being advertised on everything now. If you and bread commercials, on almost everything, they say now with prebiotics.
And yogurt.
Yeah, but nobody ever tells you what a prebiotic is. And the funny thing about a prebiotic, technically a prebiotic is anything that feeds a bacteria and helps it to grow. So it's basically bacteria food that you do, right? The term prebiotic initially was meant to be anything that probiotics would feed on and encourage it to grow. And so the thing that most people will hear about is something called a product called fructooligosaccharides. And sometimes that's known also as inulin, right? That's one of the type of prebiotics. But the definition of a prebiotic is anything that will cause a bacteria to grow. So it's basically bacteria food that you're putting in if you're giving prebiotics. Now,
okay. Prebiotics, hold on, let me sum that up. Prebiotics is food for bacteria.
That's right. Encourages growth of bacteria. Now you may ask, why would you want that, right?
Yeah, exactly. My next question is, why would you want bacteria to grow? I mean, I guess there's good and bad, but it just seems
The reason you want the bacteria to grow is a lot of times prebiotics are usually combined with probiotics because the feeling is that if you're going to add probiotics to your gut or to the gut of your horse, meaning that you want to encourage the growth of the good bacteria, what you're trying to do now is to add some extra feed so that the bacteria will have a better chance of growing. So it's like if you put grass seed down on your lawn, it's usually a good idea to sprinkle a little bit of fertilizer on top of it so it encourages the growth of the bacteria.
Okay. So when it says probiotics, the probiotics is the bacteria. Is that correct?
That's right.
The prebiotics is the fertilizer.
The equivalent would be like the fertilizer, right? That's putting it in what I call everyday terms that most people will have no problems thinking, understanding what it's there for.
Yes, like me. we have to break it down. Okay, so to review, probiotics, like I should have been a freaking school teacher here. To review, children, probiotics is a bacteria. Prebiotics is like the fertilizer. It causes the bacteria to grow.
That's great.
So, Dr. Gordon Cheng, why exactly would you give probiotics without prebiotics? Like, is it good at all? Does it do anything? Or are you throwing your money down the drain?
Yeah, I wouldn't give prebiotics on its own. If it were up to me, I always have prebiotics with the probiotics. Now, the reason, again, for probiotics, again, I don't know how many of your listeners have been following the saga of probiotics, but as time marches on, we hear more and more good things about probiotics, especially the idea that I know a lot of horses get a lot of antibiotics. And one of the things that most people don't know is that antibiotics kill off all the bacteria, good bacteria, bad bacteria, and so on. And the idea here with the probiotics is always that the probiotics then will come, if you add probiotics to your food for the horse after he gets a good shot of antibiotics, you're basically trying to seed the areas where the bacteria has died off with good bacteria. So you're giving your good bacteria a head start over the bad bacteria.
I had no idea. Okay, so when you give your horse antibiotics, it doesn't just kill the bad bacteria. It kills all bacteria. How important is it to seed that and to put some probiotics and then on top of that prebiotics? How important is that?
It's very important. The analogy I'll use, let's think of you had a lawn full of grass, good grass, and you had some weeds in it. And you want to get rid of some of those weeds, so you apply weed killer. Weed killer kills everything. Weed, grass, or everything. So you end up with a spot of an empty spot of earth, right? If you put nothing down, it's whatever lands first gets to plant. So if you don't do anything, the weed seeds get down there first. What will happen sooner or later, you'll have more weeds than good grass. So the probiotics are like your good grass seed. You come in the morning and you're throwing a handful of grass seed on. If you throw the prebiotics on top of that, then you have fertilizer, so it encourages the growth of the good of the good grass. And so after a good dose of antibiotics, that's what you want to do. Now, if you notice, if you take antibiotics, a lot of times your horses have a tendency to get sicker a lot easier. That's because a lot of the good bacteria, what they do, they compete with the bad bacteria for space. So if you have more good bacteria, the waste produced by the good bacteria actually help protect your body or protect the horse's body from infections and so on. So that's why. Are you totally confused now?
No. I'm totally following it. And just to review here, so probiotics, good bacteria. Prebiotics, fertilizer for that bacteria, basically. And antibiotics kill all bacteria. So when you have used antibiotics, you want to throw... How do you know that probiotics is a good bacteria? Is that just what they stick in there? They being...
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of studies on what these things are called probiotics, the good bacteria. And what the studies are basically showing is that the waste products produced by some of these good bacteria actually kill off some of the bad bacteria. By definition, a good bacteria is basically something that the body can tolerate. So as I always say to people, you know, there's nothing inherently good or bad about any particular bacteria, meaning that they don't wake up on a Sunday morning and go to church, right? So nothing inherently good. The only good thing about these good bacteria is that your body can handle the waste products produced by these good bacteria better. Some of these good bacteria are also essential for digestion of food that the horses will eat. Now, for horses especially, probiotics are more important because a horse, if it didn't have a good bacterial culture in its hind gut, could literally eat and starve because the horses depend on bacteria for digestion of its feed more so than most other animals.
So is that why, listening to this, I have a horse that one of my boarder's horses that was sick and was given a course of antibiotics. And it also, in that same course of being sick, had a colic. So the vet told me to go out and buy some probiotics and give it to the horse. So I have this horse that colicked and then was on antibiotics, and now I'm giving it probiotics. But is that going to be enough? And should every horse that gets on antibiotics then have probiotics and prebiotics?
Definitely, every horse that has been on antibiotics should definitely go on a treatment of probiotics with prebiotics. Now, as far as treatment of colic, we know there's many different reasons for colic, and definitely the imbalances in the gut does cause colic. That's one of, okay, and as a treatment for colic, it is a good start, and it's also a good, it'll help prevent colic too. I mean, in a lot of people's experience, ongoing use of probiotics does help prevent colic.
Okay. All right. So it's very easy to go to your local feed store, tack store, whatever, and find probiotics. Where do you get prebiotics, and is there something that has both in it?
There, most products, if they're any good, should usually have prebiotics in it. And normally they may be labeled as FOS, phospholigosaccharides. It may also be labeled as inulin, or it may also just be labeled plain prebiotics. So any of those three are usually considered prebiotics, right? What's nice to have prebiotics is not the be-all and end-all. To be fair, it's like you can put grass seed down on grass on soil without putting fertilizer. It'll still grow. It's just that it grows a lot better if you put a dab of fertilizer on with it.
Oh,
right?
Gotcha.
So that's the whole idea with the prebiotics.
I got to
right?
tell
okay.
you, I can relate, as Dr. Chang knows, I can relate to this personally because I had Lyme really bad a while back, and they had me on antibiotics for a long time, and boy, does that screw up everything. Your stomach, in this case, just what we were talking about there, it just does mess you up. People think that antibiotics used it for a short period of time are fine, but boy, when you get any extended use of antibiotics, it messes up a lot of other things.
That's right. And that long-term use is what kills off a lot of that good bacteria, and it just messes up your microflora, or what they call the bacteria in your gut. And, as I was pointing out, especially for horses, without the good bacteria in the gut, it's prone to a lot of different things. Bad digestion is just one of them. Colic is another thing. And if you, people in the alternative medicine field always believe that most of disease ailments do start at the gut, at the level of the gut. And if you think about it a little bit, we know that if you have a lot of bad bacteria in your gut, we know it produces toxic waste, which can get absorbed, and these toxic waste, if the body cannot handle it, shows itself up as different disease processes in the body. So one of the things that you're doing with a probiotic is also doing prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
So it's kind of like I'm thinking of, this is going to sound weird, but you know those commercials for Danone Activia?
Yes.
And it was like Jamie Lee Curtis was like, yeah, if you eat this for 2 weeks, you'll be, you know, pooping at the same time every day regularly. And then it's like I think about that with horses. I mean, that's the common goal is to, you know, a colicky horse is one that doesn't poop. So every time your horse poops and you've had experiences with colic, you're like, oh, good. Okay, that's fine. He's pooping. So it's kind of like that. Like you're giving your horse your Danone Activia. And when my horse colicked, the Border's horse, this is going to sound stupid, Dr. Chang, but I don't know if it would have done anything. And maybe you can answer this question. That was like you need to get some probiotics into this horse because he had been on Butte for a while and antibiotics. And she's like, get some probiotics into him. And so I didn't have any on stock, and the feed store was closed because, of course, it's late at night. So I actually fed him 4 Danone Activias.
Usually,
and he ate them.
Yeah. The biggest problem, I mean, the yogurts are great. The biggest problem with most of these yogurt is that on the shelf, in order to get better shelf life, they usually pasteurize it. And if you're going to pasteurize yogurt or pasteurize anything, pasteurization process kills off bacteria, okay?
Huh.
So, and if you're going to kill off the bacteria and you're looking for live bacteria, you usually don't have anything in there live because what you want is the growth of live bacteria. So you want, it's like saying that you're going to put grass seed on, but before you put the grass seed on, you're going to cook it first, right? That's pasteurization process, right? However, one of the things that we know about yogurt, as an example, yogurt is fermented milk, meaning that there's bacteria in there that's already done its magic. And you have to remember, the waste products produced by these good bacteria actually help sometimes destroy bad bacteria. So in itself, it is not a bad thing, but it doesn't really supply you with live probiotics. And I know a lot of times they will say made with live bacteria, and that is true. They do make yogurt with live bacteria. It's just that if you're going to, because you've got to get shelf life on these things. And if you're going to sell it, so unless they say that the product is non-pasteurized or anything like that, we know that chances are you'd have killed off a lot of the bacteria.
I am taking notes. I think this is totally interesting. So, Dr. Chang, what is exactly the Omega Alpha products that would kind of fit in this category that we're discussing?
We have a product called Biotic 8. And what's nice
that's
about
it? That's the one I gave my horse. That's what started his whole gut healing. Okay, so go on.
That's right. The major advantage of the Biotic 8 is that it has 8 strains of bacteria. And as I always say to people, you know, you got to, even though a good bacteria is good, if I take all the bacteria out of the gut and just replace it with one type of bacteria, even if it's a good bacteria, your horse is not going to be a happy camper. Because you need a wide variety of bacteria. It's just a matter of balance. And that's why we have 8 different strains. And also, it's the delivery system, the way of getting the bacteria into the gut. Because one of the things we know about bacteria is that the first place, as soon as you feed a horse anything, it first ends up in the stomach, which is very acidic. And the acids in the stomach have been known to kill off bacteria. And what some people have done is basically put a lot of bacteria in there, but the acids will kill off 95% of it, leaving 5% to implant. What we have done is added things in there which basically, when it gets wet, will form a protective shell around the good bacteria. So instead of killing off 95%, it may just kill off 35%, and the other 65% gets through to implants. So you have a much higher dosage getting in there. So the analogy is, if I'm putting one handful of grass seed and 95% of them die off on the lawn, you can see how long it'll take to grow back. Whereas if I throw a handful and I use special protectants on the seeds, and I get 65% of it surviving to grow, you can see how much faster it'll work. And that's why people see a lot of fast benefits with our particular probiotic.
I'll tell you what. The thing that amazes me about all of this, too, is how you can isolate one little thing, like one little organism, and then put it with other little organisms, and then make it into a substance that we can actually put in our horses, and then keep it alive the whole time. It's just amazing to me. I don't understand it at
there's
all.
There's a lot of science involved there, Glenn. It's you know, there is, believe it or not, techniques that people have come up with that will do all that. It's amazing. Modern medicine.
Well, I guess that's why you make the big bucks and we're sitting here talking to it.
I wish I did.
Well, no. Dr. Chang, everybody, please go to omegaalpha.ca and check it out. And if you have any questions or anything, can our listeners email you guys with questions?
Oh,
and where do they do that?
Definitely. They can email it to us. You can email directly to me, and I myself will answer the emails, or if it becomes too much, I will have someone help me answer those emails. And it's email, my email is gchang, gchang, at oapharma.com, oapharma.com.
Okay, so for Omega Alpha Pharmaceutical, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Cool. Well, thank you, Dr. Chang.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Nice.
We'll talk to you again next month. I've got a whole page full of notes here, Dr. Chang. I'm going to be your best student. I swear.
Don't worry. The nice, best part about this segment, there's no test at the end of it. No exams.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you for having me, and take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
You love that stuff, don't you?
I do. And you know what's really bad is that I gave my horse Biotic 8 because he was having some stomach problems, and now I actually know why it worked. I had no idea. I was like, wow, he's just happier now.
Well, I think that's true for most medicines that anybody takes for themselves or gives their horses. Isn't that true? We don't know why it works. They just know they're supposed to work.
It just works, and it did work. So I highly recommend that Biotic 8. I mean, and the only symptoms that my horse was having was he was just grumpy and really didn't want to work and really didn't want to do anything, and he just looked poor. And so I gave him a little Biotic 8. It's a tiny little scoop every day. And, oh, my God, his whole attitude changed. His coat changed. His demeanor changed. Everything changed. And I guess that's, getting back to the foundation of the horse is, if their gut's not happy, just like you, if your gut's not happy, you're not happy. And certainly, like, if stomach hurts, what do you want to do, go run and jump? No, I don't think so. So get the stomach happy. And, again, I have tested this product, and it worked. So, whatever. But for whatever that's worth, I think everybody should do it.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Jamie, and appreciate you leading that one. And Dr. Chang's always fascinating. We're going to have him on every month. So we should be learning as we go here a little bit about nutrition and the horse's nutrition. Now, let's do this. Let's change the schedule a little bit. Let's do our song next, and then we'll come back and we'll do some news, and then we'll get Anna 20 on about the Holistic Horse Affair, which I cracked up, to be honest with you, when I read that the first time, because if I was doing this, I would have made it the Holistic Horse Fair as opposed to the Holistic Horse Affair, which I kind of had this vision of a couple of holistic horses having an affair.
Dirty mind. it's Monday.
I know. So the song today is something we haven't heard before. It is from Dan Roberts, and it's brought to you by Pocket Stables. You know, have you done it yet? We talk about this twice a week. You should just, if you have an iPhone, or if you have an iPod Touch, you can use this too. You just go to PocketStable.com, or you go to Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone or your iPod Touch, and you just download the program. It's only $3.99, and it's going to help you keep track of all of your horse's information. You're going to save that $3.99 in vet bills because you've got things done on time, and that includes your vaccines and your worming and your farrier and your dentist visits and all that stuff. I heard a couple of the boarders at the barn this weekend talking about, oh, I think my feet are due, and I was thinking, you know, you could, and they were talking about shots and everything. I was thinking, you could keep track of all that if you just did it on your phone. And you can do that through PocketStable.com. Do it today, only $3.99. So a new song today from Dan Roberts, and I'm looking for it here. It's called The Hero is a Clown. And, of course, it's about rodeo clowns who are true. Well, first of all, they're crazy, and then they're heroes, too.
Cowboys have their own brand of heroes. Some are living in the shadows, some on the silver screen. They're tough men, straight shooting as a fence rope, standing rugged as a line pole, and few and far between. But there's a man you may not think of as a hero, because his reputation plays it down. But at a rodeo, ask any bull rider, he'll even tell an outsider his hero is a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, to risk his life to keep them safe and sound. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. Well, don't let that painted face fool you, 'cause he can sure enough school you. He's been down the road from the finals all the way to Little Britches. He keeps a minute out of stitches, both young and old. So here's to all the boys that work the barrel, and all of you that fight 'em on the ground. When the dust clears, they mark the ride and the crowd cheers. It ain't changed in 100 years. The hero's still a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, from tie to don to Jim to Freckles Brown. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. For the wild bull rider, the hero's still a clown.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. Morning.
Well, it is a beautiful day here in Lexington, too. It's absolutely perfect fall weather here. We had a great day yesterday, and it didn't rain. However, I heard it rained up at Devon, at Dressage at Devon. It had a little rain over the weekend and got them a little wet during the freestyle, but it went on, and apparently there were some terrific rides. I also wanted to highlight one of the shows from last week, and that's Equestrian Legends came out over the weekend, episode number 7, with Raimondo Dienzi. I can never say this last name. Can you help me out there, Jamie? You say it.
No. Wait. Okay. Raimondo Dienzi.
That's right. It's the Dienzi brothers. You're right.
Of course I am.
That's right. It's Raimondo Dienzi. And she did his brother a little bit ago. So this was actually done through an interpreter because he only speaks Italian. And so you can hear that whole interview. It was fascinating. He is one of the legends of show jumping in Italy and has 6 Olympic medals and 2 world championships along with a ton of Grand Prix victories. So that's available right now.
He's a Grand Prix show jumper who's Italian, so he's good looking.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
He's very old now. They're like 89 and 91, the two brothers.
He's probably still hot. Still hot.
He's still with it, though, I'll tell you what. You know, he wasn't having any trouble answering any questions, that's for sure. It still had a sense of humor. So you can listen to that. It was interesting, too, to listen to the interpreter. So Chris did a good job with it. It was a good show. So that's Equestrian Legends at EquestrianLegends.com or HorseRadioNetwork.com. Let's talk a little news. Why don't you lead the way today?
Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic week of racing it was. This weekend marks something a little special for me because all of a sudden we have a new house and then a new TV system, and now I get horse races on TV. I have TVG. So my Saturday was spent in front of the television watching horse racing, and I was fortunate enough to go see Havre de Grace. Oh, my God, this mare, they're comparing her, this mare named Havre de Grace. The experts and just people that watch horse racing are comparing her to Rachel Alexandra. She has been heralded now as the best thing to happen to female horse races since Zenyatta. She's in the running for Horse of the Year, and she ran this weekend and won, I mean, hands down. Like, won, like, 8 lengths. The jockey didn't even go to the whip the last, like, half of the race. I mean, it was... This is the most phenomenal mare I've seen in a while. She's not Zenyatta. Of course, nobody will be Zenyatta, but she's absolutely phenomenal. So she is now qualified for the Breeders' Cup Classic, which happens on November 5th. Also this weekend, our good friend Uncle Mo ran in a race, and he won. And he won by several lengths. Apparently, he wasn't even challenged through the entire race. There's one horse that kind of, like, came up a little bit, but then he blasted off. There was no challenge. Uncle Mo, hands-down winner. Now, he's also qualified for the Breeders' Cup, but he could be qualified for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which is also November 5th, or the Classic. But, of course, his owner, Mike Rapoli, is like, classic, classic, classic. We want the Classic. His stablemate, Stay Thirsty, ran this weekend, finished in 3rd place, beat by a horse named Flat Out. Flat Out is now qualified for the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he is an amazing colt. So you've got Stay Thirsty, who, of course, Michael Poley's like, Breeders' Cup Classic, Uncle Mo, Breeders' Cup Classic, Havre de Grace, Breeders' Cup Classic, Flat Out, Breeders' Cup Classic. And then you even had Shackelford run 3rd this weekend. Shackelford, of course, the Preakness winner. So Breeders' Cup Classic for him? I don't know. I mean, this could be the most monumental Breeders' Cup race that we've seen in a very long time. It takes place at Churchill Downs on November 5th. Glenn, can you fly me in and let's get some tickets? Let's go.
Can you call your dad? See if he can work that out.
My dad has bought enough tickets for a while. Garth Brooks beats the Breeders' Cup. But
Speaking of your dad, I know he's a big John Wayne fan because you've told me that before, and I know how you could pay him back for this nice thing he did for you. Is a bunch of John Wayne's personal property is now up for auction. It's being auctioned by Heritage Auctions out of Los Angeles. And it's a bunch of stuff. They have this stuff that basically has been put in the warehouse for 35 years. They never went back in. The family just never went back in. And now a couple of his sons said, it's time to get this in the hands of some people who would appreciate it, and I'm sure raise a few dollars. Plus, all profits from some of the sales of the DVDs and things that go along with this collection are helping the John Wayne Cancer Foundation, so some of that is going there as well. But this is actually online, and you can go online, and you can bid on some of this stuff. So I have a couple ideas for you, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I was a John Wayne fan. You're probably too young. But he had a bunch
of movies.
That
Are you kidding me? My dad has a life-size stand-up of John Wayne in his living room. Okay, I mean, tell me that's not going to scare the hell out of you if you walk into the house with the lights off. There's like some big 7-foot tall dude standing there. Anyway, he's been a huge fan. And, of course, when your parents watch movies, you know, of course you watch them. So I grew up on the old Westerns and Rooster Cogburn, of course. Awesome. And the boys, just great movies. He's an amazing, I wouldn't say he's an amazing actor. I can't go that far.
Well,
however, I can say that
we love his movies. No, I wouldn't say that either, because I don't think he was a terrific actor, but what an icon of, you know, he's just known by all generations. And he did so many cool things for the troops and stuff along the way, too. But, you know, you just mentioned Rooster Cogburn. You can pay your dad back by buying him the cowboy hat that John Wayne wore in the Rooster Cogburn movie.
No kidding.
No kidding.
How much does that cost?
Current bid, with 2 days to go, is only $30,000.
What?
No way. If that's a little too expensive for your blood, then how about, you know, I actually liked John Wayne better in his Army movies than I did in the Westerns, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail for that. One of my favorite movies of his of all time was The Green Beret. And you can get his camouflage fatigue that he wore in The Green Berets, and you can afford this a little bit better probably for your dad at $8,500.
Oh, God.
Okay, so that's too expensive. I'm trying to help you out here. How about the beret? His actual beret from The Green Berets, by the way, which I wouldn't mind owning, is only at $6,000 right now, 2 days, 13 hours, and 10 minutes left.
Well, you know what I just saw on here? The holster and gun belt from El Dorado. It's like the actual holster, and of course, you know, John Wayne was super quick draw. He pulled it out of there, shot somebody, and it's only $17,000.
There you go. How about
the
eye patch helmet?
The eye patch from True Grit is up
here.
Holy
cow. How much is that?
Current bid, $11,000.
I have something that you could probably afford. This is from his early days. It's a pith helmet. You know what a pith helmet is? It's like one of those helmets they wear in Africa. And
Safari
this was
helmet.
Actually from a movie way long ago. I don't even remember the name of the movie. But it's from 1948, and it's stamped Duke on the outside, and it's only at $800. Your dad probably paid more than that for the ticket.
He better not have paid more than that for the ticket. I'd be mad. Oh, they even have chaps, a pair of chaps from the 50s that John Wayne wore, $3,000. That's not bad. Not bad. Custom chaps are about that much.
They got his boots on here. They have all kinds of stuff on here. It's amazing, the collection. They also have a lot of letters that were written to him from other celebrities, a lot of artwork, some of his books that he had, personal books. Just a whole bunch of different stuff.
The Golden Globe Award for True Grit that John Wayne received is estimated value, and it has been bid on for $50,000.
Oh, my God.
$50,000. I mean, that is definitely like a conversation piece for your mantle. But $50,000 is estimated at $75,000. So the bidding probably will go up. We've got to follow this. So let's put the link for this on Facebook so everybody else can go in here and bid. $3,000 for some ugly khaki jacket? No.
I was just looking at what the lowest bid things are, what you could get. And you could get your dad a pair of African antelope skull and horns that were used in one of his movies for only $500.
How do you search for the lowest amount? That's what I want to go.
That's what I did. Lowest first, and it appears that $500 appears to be the lowest you're going to get off here. was just looking through the $500 items, and there's mostly stuff you've never used of. Oh, 10 pairs of slippers.
Wow.
John Wayne, they probably smell like his feet. Let me see. 10 pairs of slippers. Yeah, these were his slippers. 10 pairs of his slippers. They're probably in his closet when he died, and they drug him out and threw him in the warehouse for only $550, current bid.
Oh, my God. A coffee mug from Cahill, U.S. Marshal. $600 for a freaking coffee mug.
We're having too much fun with this. Jennifer, go ahead and post a link on Facebook to this auction. This is a lot of fun.
Okay, I'll do some different news. You know, I just talked about the... By the way, how impressed were you with my racing update? That was pretty awesome.
I was pretty impressed. You sounded like you even knew what you were doing. HRTV is going to be calling you in no time.
Yeah, they keep saying that, but then they never call. they keep saying they're going to hire me away from here, but then it never happens. Are you paying them? Is that what's going on? I'm just kidding. I wouldn't go anywhere. I just talked a little bit about the Churchill Downs and what's going on in Kentucky. It is the place to be right now because there's some new horses coming to the Kentucky Horse Park. Glenn, have you heard about this?
Yes, I did. Last week.
Oh, I thought you were gone for a second. Yeah. So four rare horses have been given to the Kentucky Horse Park. They arrived Tuesday, and I'm sure it's got to be a story in the local paper there because horses are always in the local paper. Francesca Kelly has chosen the Kentucky Horse Park as the keeper of the last precious band of rare equines on this continent, says John Nicholson. I had never even heard of these, but after looking at them, I know I've seen them in, like, my big horse picture books, and they're Marwari horses. Is that how you say it, Marwari horses?
That's how I say it. I don't know that that's right, but that's how I say it.
They're unbelievable. The horses came from Kelly's farm in Chappaquiddick Island off the coast of Massachusetts. No doubt these are very valuable horses. I don't think they have many left. Apparently, the breed comes in all colors, but the albino is held in the highest regard, and the albino Marwari is used for religious ceremonies in India. Now, the telltale mark of this horse, and when I mention it, you might go, oh, Kyle, I know what you're talking about. They have ears that are so curved, they go straight up and they curve, the tips curve into each other over the pole of the horse. So these were hundreds of years ago, they were used as war horses because they have extreme endurance. And they are going to be on display. And I guess there's not many at all left in the whole world of this horse.
No, I think that there are very few of these left. You're right. That's why they were brought here. That's going to be kind of neat. They'll add it to the 200 and some other horses are at the Kentucky Horse Park right now. That's cool. And Jennifer, we need to make an announcement, don't we?
I suppose we do.
I don't have it in my show notes. It's just not there. So I don't know why.
It's right there on your chat screen there, dude.
Okay, well, you can do it.
Oh.
Be my guest.
You just want me to do it because you can't pronounce that name.
I just don't see it at all. It's not here. I'm having technological problems this morning, so we'll have you do it.
Well, many of our regular listeners will remember that way back last week on Monday, the folks from the All-Tech National Horse Show, home of the ASPCA Metal McClay Finals, stopped by, and they are giving away a pair of tickets to the All-Tech National Horse Show happening at the beginning of November to the person who could post on our Facebook page the four of the eight Metal McClay winners who went on to represent the United States on Olympic teams. And that was their challenge, and we posted it up on the Jumping Radio Show as well as the Horses in the Morning Show. And of all of those postings, Leah Dautriel, guarantee I'm butchering that. Leah Daltriel named four of the eight, and she wins a pair of tickets to the All-Tech National Horse Show. Yay!
All right. Now, the question of the year, Jennifer, is who were the eight?
You know, the only ones I know are the four she answered. I don't know who the other four is. We're going to have to get Mason back on. Frank Chappell, George Morris, Peter Wilde, and Brian Goutal were the four she named. And she must have quite the Google skill, because I dug and dug and dug, and I was having a tough time finding any more.
That's a little bit of a random question, too, so it's tough.
I thought it would be easy. I thought, well, heck, Metal McClay, that is the, literally, that is the national championships in equitation in the United States of America. You would think that it would be easy to find, but no, it's nearly impossible to find.
The
site doesn't even have it.
It's tough. So, well, at least you got the answer right, and we'll work on getting all eight, because now I'm actually interested in it. So we have to find out a little bit more. So let's find out who all eight were, and we can put that on Facebook, and I'll leave some people's curiosity. But are we going to be giving away potentially more tickets? So everybody stick around, because we'll have more trivia questions for more tickets to the game. So it'll be we'll keep you guys entertained. We'll keep you entertained with trivia questions.
More opportunities tomorrow to win tickets.
Oh, tomorrow. Hey, good deal.
All right, Jamie, I have something for you.
Okay.
I know you just bought your farm, but we like to keep an eye on this show on the celebrities who have farms that come up for sale. And Ellen DeGeneres and Portia, her friend, are selling their ranch. Is it a wife officially now?
Yep.
Okay. So Ellen and Portia are selling their horse farm. It's tucked into the forested foothills of Malibu and includes eight residential cottages of varying sizes. Three of which all of them have been redone, and they were all done over by the two of them, and they're all done in a muted palette of white, gray, and taupe and pale earth tones, which basically means they're boring. The cottages feature renovated bathrooms and kitchens stocked with high-end appliances, wood and polished concrete floors, vaulted and beamed ceilings, and easy access to screened porches, decks, and terraces that extend the living spaces outdoors. And that's because they don't tell you that, judging by the pictures, these are tiny cottages. The extensive equestrian facilities include five horse turnouts, a hay barn, a dressage and jumping arenas with an adjoining judges stand, an upgraded horse barn with six double-sided stalls, tack room, kitchen, industrial washer and dryer setup, and lounge area with radiant heated floor. So you can get all of that for a mere $16,500. And they'll probably negotiate, because they just bought it not too long ago for $16 million, rather. They just bought it not too long ago for $10 million. So you can probably negotiate down a little bit if you're thinking that's a little too high.
Wow. Okay. So I just can't imagine Portia and Ellen as big dressage queens. I mean, why do they have dressage arenas with judges' stands? They must have just bought this and they redid it and are trying to flip it. I mean, I can't imagine Ellen sitting there in the judges' booth while Portia trots by and she's like, more inside rein, little more outside leg.
Well, this will sound, there's other amenities on the property. This will sound more like Ellen, okay, and Portia. You ready for this? It includes a treehouse, a windmill, a screened yoga pavilion. Now, this is sounding more like them, isn't it? And a couple of large barns. and then what else is here? Oh, and recently, I knew that this was up for sale. I think we'd even talked about this. They've had their home in Beverly Hills up for sale, and it was up for sale for $60 million, their regular home, their primary residence, which is a multi-acre compound. And they recently took it off the market, and according to all the gossip, nobody knows why. Nobody knows if somebody bought it or if it's just off the market. Nobody knows. So if
you
were looking at their private house for $60 million, apparently you're out of luck.
Good God. Do you know what, like, a basic house payment would be on a $60 million house? I mean, it's got to be at least $60,000. Because you always try to take like 10%. So every month, your house payment is $60,000. The average income, you know, for like a regular person, you know, like a family, is like somewhere around 50 for a year with that two working parents, $50,000. Here we go. This is $60,000 a month to spend.
That just goes
on your
to
outfit.
Show you how much money there is in daytime TV.
We
you
are
wouldn't
in the
think
wrong
that, but look at
now.
Oprah. Look at Ellen. The ones that Rachel Ray, the ones who really make it. There's big money in daytime TV.
Well, it's not just daytime TV. I mean, you got to think Portia's been in movies and everything like that. But
that's
Ellen does her comedy tour, and she fills up arenas. So she makes probably $1 million every time she does a comedy tour. And then they tape it, and they put it on a special, and then they sell it and play it on HBO and all that. Then she also had the Ellen Show for many, many years, which was it was just Ellen, and it was a sitcom about her life, and she probably made butt tons of money from that. I mean, you know, it's more money than God.
That's true. Well, there you go. There's your next purchase. Call your dad. He's just in the buying mood. So give your dad a call.
Daddy!
All right. Anna 20 is on the phone here, and she's one of my favorite guests. We have her on all the time because I like talking to her, and we got her up early this morning. So she always outwits me, and I'm hoping that this morning it's so darn early out there she hasn't had her coffee and I can keep up with her today. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Glenn. You couldn't have introduced that better. I have not had the coffee, and I'm not awake.
Yes, good. She's calling
us
from bed this morning. One of the best things about doing radio is we sit around in our pajamas and do the show too. So you're in with us, Anna. You're in good company today.
I think your remote viewing is getting better, Glenn.
Well, I love talking to you. It's so much fun. But today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. And I was kind of making, got to be honest, earlier in the show, I was kind of making fun of the title because it made me laugh when I first read it. It's called The Holistic Horse Affair. And I just had this picture of holistic horses having an affair. And so, you know, it kind of was funny to me. I would have probably called it The Holistic Horse Fair. But it is The Holistic Horse Affair.
Yeah, there's a reason they couldn't call it that. It probably already belongs to somebody else, that name, so they had to differ it slightly.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get my mind out of the gutter, and we'll talk about what it is. Talk about what it actually is. So what is the Holistic Horse Affair?
Well, it's the first time that I'm actually going to be a part of it, Glenn, so I haven't managed to do the first or second one. So this is the third annual Holistic Horse Affair. And they've got some great headliners there, so me included. But Melissa Pierce is going to be there, and she's a great friend of mine, and so Susan Williams. And so the three of us together not only were, part of or key players in the Call of the Horse CD and also Horse's Teacher book, but since then Melissa and I have done several clinics together, and we've got actually one coming up the following weekend. And Susan's an amazing photographer. I call her an artist and photographer because she was key in the Call of the Horse, the cover, that's Excalibur, and she's also helped me with the foals where we've done the Primarine foals and so on. She created the cover for that DVD. So for me, it's a really neat thing. The three of us are getting together. We've got booths next to one another, and I also know that Tallgrass are there and some great other speakers. So really it's a matter of getting together. It's October the 7th, 8th, and 9th. So that would be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And each day has a slightly different twist on it. There's some experiential workshops on Friday the 7th. That's an early start, actually. Way too early, 8 to 6, that one. And then Saturday, the October the 8th, is the trade show, demos, lectures. And that's where I'll be doing quite a bit. And then Sunday, October the 9th, is also trade shows, demos, lectures, and some classes. And so Sunday's a little bit shorter. It's 9 to 4, where Saturday is 9 to 6. So I'm kind of going back and around things there. But it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of like-minded people there because it's all about holistic horsemanship. So that's it in a nutshell, Glenn. So fire away. Do you want to hear what I'm doing?
Yeah, well, first, before I do want to hear what you're doing, but first, tell us what holistic horsemanship is for people that don't know.
Yeah, I think we all have a different interpretation of that. It's a lot like natural horsemanship, where in all things considered, the horses have been domesticated, and so we have to question how much of it really is natural. But on the other side, we're looking to utilize the psychology and the nature of the horse for natural horsemanship. And the same with holistic. For me, what it means is all around horsemanship. So when I'm teaching natural horsemanship, I'm capable of bringing in the nutrition. And so I'm looking at the natural diet as closely as possible, organic supplements, not necessarily a chemical dewormer, but in fact natural. And then you can look at natural hoof care, so that natural hoof care trim, be it the one that Jean Ovenek has done with the rollover the front, or be it that it means no shoes. So there's a lot of this piece. There's chiropractic. I don't know if anybody has actually been to a chiropractor themselves. I swear by them, and I go about every 8 weeks, and it just helps my skeleton stay in alignment, and it helps me continue to be on the road and bring these methods to people around the globe. So it's a really neat complementary therapy to have on top. For me, it's about also staying healthy for oneself to be able to take the methods around. And the same for the horses. It's preventative care. So we can incorporate massage, acupuncture, acupressure, therapeutic oils, Reiki energy healing for horses, cranial sacral. There's so many modalities that make this holistic. So you could be saying that it's the whole horse we're concentrating on, or you can say we're going to nature and getting preventative care. So a lot of this will also incorporate the Eastern style medicines.
Okay, cool. And that, and you're doing specifically what you talked about. I mean, you have so many different things that you work with and do. So what are you going to be doing at the fair?
Fair. Yeah, you get my mind somewhere else too there. So you reached me at a good time of year, Glenn. I know I was on your show when we were talking about the foals in training. And so you never know what's around the corner. And since I came back from Connecticut, I was out there for 5 weeks with my full year's program, first with the part one where students were coming, and then part three where they were being examined for the foundation course. But the main thing, I was at Ray of Light, and that's a rescue, and they have 200 head of animals, 50 of which are horses, and a lot of them are Primerons, and they've been part of multiple rescues. Well, not only am I speaking about from feedlot to freedom, the foals in training, but at the same time, we've just started a rescue for 12 little Primerin foals, former Primerin foals, I should say, because I say former. What happened is a lot of the farmers lost their contracts over the years, and yet just getting out of the industry wasn't an option for them. So a number of them continued to breed. So these are former Primerin mares where he lost his contract, and there's 12 foals still not having a good destiny. And so we're looking to rescue them from Canada, bring them over. Six are going to go to Ray of Light Farms. Six are going to go to Equine Voices in Arizona. And there they will be gentled. So I've got a class coming up at Ray of Light with the gentling, and then in Arizona we're hoping to place them very, very quickly. Well, one of my lectures on Saturday morning is around this. It pertains to the foals, and for me it's a chance to shed light onto the PMU industry, and also the fact that a number of farmers are getting out of this industry, and what's happening to the foals and what this means to them. So I think it would be a really cool lecture to show people, because I'll have little clips, I'm hoping, of not only the DVD that we released, but also of the foals, because they're magnificent looking. Some are from draft breeds, some are actually more quarter horsey looking. As a whole, the PMU industry chose the larger mares so that they collect more urine. So you really get across the board selection of horses. But these lives will be saved, and here's an opportunity to talk about the gentle communication techniques, how to leave the force and fear behind and replace this with this partnership of telepathic communication, of energy and with body language. So you know what, Glenn, I know you guys aren't always around, but I also know that you're close to Rhode Island. You're not too far from East Haddam, and it would be extraordinary if you could visit for a day or two and just meet these foals, and you never know what will come out of this. But it's a beautiful journey. And so, yes, there will be a lecture on it, and I think it would touch many, many people because the methods not only go from the foals but also for untouched horses or hard-to-catch horses and trailer loading, etc.
Actually, Helena is not too far from there. She lives in Rhode Island, so I'm going to definitely have to let her know about that. Yeah, from the Stable Scoop Show. So she's the street from there, so that, I'm sure she would be interested in visiting you there.
You know, and I remember that well, and on the 4th of December, I'm donating 100% of the proceeds. We're going to do like a day from 10 a.m. through to 4 p.m., and it's going to be methods for the Premarins, any guidance that I can give to people that already have Premarins. We can showcase the 6 babies that have been there. I've also got 2 nurse foals that will be attending, so I can introduce people to what the nurse foal industry is. But if she could make the 4th of December, it will be 100% fundraiser for the foals, and we'd love to have her there.
Okay. We would love to promote that for you coming up. Definitely let us know. You know, we'll have you on a little bit before that, too, to talk about it. Because I don't think that people understand, you know, why are we still having these Premarin foals? Because they've figured out a synthetic thing for Premarin. I don't even understand why this is still a problem, why they haven't eliminated this already.
You know, and it's very sad because in one sense there's 6,000 foals still being bred as a byproduct of Premarin. And on top of that, they've got another drug, I believe to be in stage 3 approval, which is Aprella, which would deal with osteoporosis. And that means it can go out to males and females. And there's so many drugs out there that include this Premarin. So it doesn't look like it's being reduced or downsized, although there was a big movement when all the farms and ranches closed in the United States and they moved to Canada, it's still very much prevalent. It's happening. And people, you know, I just gave a lecture in Boulder, Colorado to Touched by Horse people. It was a beautiful summit for Melissa Pierce. And you know, I gave it on life lessons from Mustangs, and right at the end I must have mentioned the word Premarin and PMU, and I was asked to elaborate on it, and I spent 10 minutes talking about this foal rescue and talking about the foals. 2 women in the audience were on Premarin, two people out of 50. I thought that was pretty big.
Well, I'm telling you what, I was down visiting my mom. This was like 2 years ago, and she had, you know, her little vial of pills that she takes. She's in her, I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but anyway, she pulls this thing off the shelf, and I was like, oh my God, Mom, throw that away. The thing is, Anna, she didn't even know what it was. I mean, obviously, it was something for her because she's had some problems, and I said, Mom, Premarin. I'm like, spell that out. That's pregnant mare urine. You're taking horse piss. Like, really, seriously.
That's another way of putting it. I haven't heard it quite like that, Jamie, but that at least says it all.
That one's
Jamie's known for her tact.
I'm like, Mom, you're eating horse pee. Like, stop eating horse pee right now. It's disgusting, you know? So, of course, now they have a synthetic form, and you would think that would be a much easier way to go, a synthetic form of horse urine that you can consume instead of taking it straight from the horse's hoo-ha. Sorry. I'm mad.
Yeah. And, you know, and I could go on about it and share that there are side effects and people should educate themselves. There's so many facets to this, from the doctors knowing, and it is my hope and my dream, Melissa Pierce and I spoke about it, that we'd actually like to get in with the doctors and be able to lecture there at a theater and literally show, you know, these are the foals, these are the byproducts. And do you know this? Do you know this? Now, they can educate themselves on the side effects, but do they even know this piece? Because maybe they'd make a different educated guess or educated opinion on it, and they would not subscribe that.
So that is
one of my hopefully powerful lectures at this event, and it will capture a few hearts to make a difference. And as I'm on that note, you know that one of the foals' lives is worth $300. We've managed to raise enough for 7 out of the 12 foals. And once I've done that, we're looking to raise the funds for the transportation. So it's $3,600 to save their lives, and on top of that, about $6,000 for transportation. I was very, very fortunate to get a big donor that gave us thousands for their care once they arrive in this country. So the money is coming in left, right, and center, and it would be wonderful if it continues to come in.
Well, thank you for your efforts there, too, Anna. You know, it's certainly appreciated. And, you know, all of this is kind of sad also at the same time when I read over the weekend that the number of, you know, of repos of horses that are being neglected across the country is way up. We, you know, a couple of years ago, we knew it was up because of the economy and people just assumed that the economy is getting better. Well, it's not necessarily true, and the number of unwanted, neglected horses is just increasing all the time. And here we are adding a whole new pile of horses to that mix. So,
yeah.
Sad. Well, but you're doing something about it, and we appreciate that. We're going to have you on again as we get a little bit closer to the event up in Rhode Island. We'll definitely have you on also on the Stable Scoop Show to talk about that. We'll see if we can get Helena to take a ride over. She's always up for looking at cute babies, too, so that should if nothing else, people, it's a chance to go look at some really cute babies.
I was going to say, it is. It's really special. And Glenn, thank you. I didn't get to say the other things, but I am doing Reiki for horses, and we've got a panel discussion with Melissa Pierce and Susan Williams, and these are just a few things that are happening. I think there's something for everybody at this holistic horse affair.
I got to tell you real quick, while we were away, our dog was at a babysitter's. We have a greyhound, and we'd just gotten her. She's like 3 years old, and we bring her to the dog park to run her because you can't let her out loose. So
right.
She runs around the dog park. Well, she gets going at about 110 miles an hour and has no control. She can't stop. She has no control. It's very scary, actually, when she tries to come to a stop and there's something in her way. Well, there was a tree in her way, apparently, when our dog sitter brought her to the dog park, and she hit the tree with her back end. And you know how fast greyhounds go.
Yeah.
So she apparently got hurt. Well, there was a lady that does Reiki right there when she hit the tree, and she said, "Let me work on her." Our dog sitter said within 5 minutes she was back to running around like a nut.
Isn't it awesome?
It was incredible.
See, it's just a wonderful art because it can be done anytime, anywhere, any place, and anybody can learn Reiki. You just need to be attuned to it. But I do love it. And actually, Glenn, we have the first Reiki for Horses DVD coming out for this Christmas. I was editing the final cut yesterday. We've just got one more voiceover to do, but it's still the final cut, and we're going to be able to get it out for December. And I'm really proud of that. It was filmed at the Bitterroot Ranch in Dubois, Wyoming, which is the most picturesque place on the planet, 100,000-acre ranch, you know, or surrounded by 100,000 acres. And so the horses are healers there, and it's a wonderful DVD. So that's my other one. I am showing the Reiki for Horses, and we're going to be promoting the pre-sales for the new DVD.
All right, and that's October 7th, 8th, and 9th, and that's in Loveland, Colorado, which is sounds pretty in itself. And it's the third annual Holistic Horse Affair. And you can find more about it. We're going to post a link on our page at Horses in the Morning. Plus, I think the website, it's a little long. I don't know if there's an easy website name. But you can also find it, I'm sure, on your website, which is reachouttohorses.com.
Yeah.
And Anna is also a radio host, Jamie. She also does her own podcast over there, does a great job with it. So you can find all of her podcasts and information on her products that are available at reachouttohorses.com. All right, Anna, go back to sleep now.
You're too kind. You're too kind. Well, big hugs to you guys.
All right.
Thank you for having me and have so much fun there. And look forward to seeing one of you in November.
Okay, thanks, Anna.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
She's so sweet. To get up early. She doesn't get up early. You notice how she said one of the classes was at 9 o'clock, and she thought that was early? Anna's not an early riser, so to do this for her, I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
she's in Colorado. It's 6:30 there.
No, it's not. It's 7:30 or 7:20.
Oh, well, that's still way early for Anna.
Listen, some of us live in this time zone. Just because you start your show at 9 o'clock doesn't mean the rest of us have to get up and do our show at 9 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock here when we get started, so I don't want to hear it. 7:30
you know, I was
is fine.
Just doing, we're going to be going to Norco, of course, in 2 months, and I was just doing some of the promotions, press releases and things for it. And I was looking at the times going, we're going to have to get up at like 4:30 to be able to get there, get set up, and do our live shows on location at Norco starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time.
Welcome to my world.
It's going to be an early couple days, and you'll be teasing me the whole time, won't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll be like, want some coffee? Here. Get up at 5 and make it, okay? If you want coffee, you got to get up at 5. Well, listen, I really appreciate Dr. Gordon Chang coming on and Anna, because what a almost like a holistic day here on the Horse Radio Network.
Yeah, it was a natural day.
And I'm sorry, I got a little, I used some potty words during the whole Premarin thing. And I apologize to our listeners and to you for having a potty mouth a little bit during the Anna 20 interview. But I just get so mad about the whole PMU Premarin thing. And if you guys don't know what that is, you've got to Google it and look at it and get educated about it, because these are things that are going on with our horses and our horse community right now. And if you don't know what PMU is or Premarin is, talk to Anna, look at her website, find out more information about it, because you need to get educated on what these drug companies are doing to our horses. It's just horrible. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
I your passion came out, and I was keeping track. You didn't use one of the 7 deadly words, so you're okay.
Hopefully I know better than that.
You might have ruined somebody's breakfast, but you didn't use any of the 7 deadly words.
I hope that somebody right now was going to take their Premarin and they would get to take it. They heard me say that and they put it down and thought, I'm going to go get synthetic. Because they have synthetic, people just ask for it. Carry on. Sorry.
That's it for today. Let's wrap it up. Let's call it a day. We'll be back again tomorrow morning with another guest or two. And Jamie will be off her Premarin. We'll try not to bring that up tomorrow. Besides, as the week goes on, you're just going to be tuned out. You got Garth Brooks on the brain. She's going to be playing Garth Brooks during the show.
If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I love her? And the thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. I got friends in low places.
Say goodbye, Jamie.
And a beer chases my blues away. Spay, neuter, and geld. Bye, everybody.
Taylor.
You like that mashup, that Garth Brooks mashup right there? Okay.
Yeah, I love that. That was great.
No, it's free.